Welcome to the Talent Smart Podcast. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who will offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We want to explore how technology and business can improve and enhance the world. We're always keen to hear from you and let us know what topics you'd like to hear us cover in future episodes. Also, if you'd like to take part, please let us know. We're always looking for interesting and inspiring people to interview. Speak soon. Philip, thanks for joining us again. I'm delighted to have you with us. I really appreciate the time you're giving us. And the last two episodes have been stunning and amazing, especially the area, you know, the last one about resilience. I think there's an awful lot of takeaways from that for people. One of the other areas that you and I have discussed over the last, you know, number of months and weeks, whenever we have a chat, and particularly I think when people are spending more time alone in this last 12 months, it's understanding the importance of purpose and what it actually means. I'm talking particularly in the workplace, but in life in general, but if we start with the workplace, how do we explore that? And if we can break down purpose, I suppose would be the first thing to do, and then we'll build up what it means in the workplace and how important it is for people who manage and people who are colleagues and just are creating a better work environment.
Yeah. Time was not many generations ago where the purpose of going to work was to put money on the table and food in the belly. And that was it. But it was still a purpose. It may have been driven by the raw need to survive, but it was still a purpose.
Yeah.
So human beings have always, or animals, we're all part of the animal kingdom, are all purpose-led, whether it's at that real base level of purpose to survive, or whether as we become more and more sophisticated, depending on how you view humanity at the moment, then we can get some of the basic needs more handled, and then our appreciation of purpose or meaning can step up to different and more highfalutin levels, if you like. Starting with the corporate setting, but I will expand it to all aspects of our lives because it fits. And this is where my work, although it's been in the corporate setting for the last 30 years, I'm moving back to my roots now with the Techniques for Living project to include how to be human, because they fit in both contexts. One of the first exciting purpose statements I came across, corporate purpose statements, I was asked by a company, 25 years ago now, to help them define the direction. Where are we going? So I did a lot of thinking about what do I mean by that? So I ended up kind of distilling direction into three main categories and realized that the words I came up with, I start with, used by lots of different consultants to mean very different things. So I have a particular meaning of these three words. But I also realized that when I got these three words, most companies approach these three words in the reverse order.
Right.
The three words I came up with was purpose, vision, and strategy. And a lot of companies, and this one in particular that came to me, said, we want you to help with direction. But the kind of tagline after that was, because we're struggling with our strategy. And I thought, hang on a minute, what does strategy mean? So I looked it up and I concluded that it's a kind of fancy word for route.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, strategic direction, there's a phrase. Well, direction to where, from which? And it became clear that a lot of companies... So I was invited to a strategic strategy conference once by a very, very well-known company. What? A strategic strategy? They didn't know what it meant either, but it sounded good. So strategy is a route, but you can only plan a route if you know where you are, and you have to be honest with where you are, and you know where you want to get to. So that led me to the next word, but in reverse, which is, well, where I want to get to needs to be a goal, and a goal I can see. So it has to be a vision goal. Yeah, a vision goal is, I can plan a route to a vision goal if it's timed and measurable. But then the context comes up of, well, at any cost? Well, like, would you kill to get that vision goal? Oh, no. Okay, so what's the context? What's the bowl of comfort that reflects you and your colleagues, within which that vision goal achieved by this route or strategy can exist. And that's purpose. Right. Now, in order to ascertain them, you need to approach them the other way around, because unless you can articulate your purpose, then it's already there. It's your DNA. It's who you are. And you've got it. I've got it. Now, if you've got your mates in a pub on a Friday night, and well, we can do such things again, and got them talking beyond, you know, what's Phil really like? But no, what's he really like? They tell me. Well, he stands for justice, or he's always kind, or he's so the kind of what would then become values start to come out. And you could probably write a purpose statement, a statement of what are you about?
Yes.
And so when I went back to this company and we started looking at other famous companies who'd got purpose and then vision goals and then a strategy to achieve it, the one I really liked was NASA. And I liked it because the vision goal they had, I'll tell you about the purpose in a minute, but the vision goal they had is one of the best vision statements ever coined. JFK, 1962, would put a man on the moon and return him safely by the end of the decade. Yeah. You knew by the 31st of December 1969 we have achieved it. Brilliant. Most companies do not have vision goals that are timed and measurable. They're wishy-washy PR statements. However, the context of how NASA went about achieving that was their purpose statement, which very few people know about. And it was and still is to explore the universe for the benefit of mankind.
Wow, nice.
That's interesting. Now, when Reagan went to the Houses of Congress and Senate to get NASA to build the Star Wars program.
Remember?
Yeah, do you remember? They declined because they said it wasn't in keeping with their value and purpose statement.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. So to have an explicit sense of purpose within a corporate setting is critical. And the millennials, and particularly the Gen Z people coming through now, they won't work for companies unless there's a clear ethical purpose. They don't care about profit. Now, we all know profit's important, but if you're going for profit at the expense of purpose or without a clearly defined purpose, they ain't interested.
Yeah.
And they're going to be marching with their feet. So I think it's been born out of a sense of society slowly starting to have consciousness raised. It's hard to imagine sometimes when you read the news, but I think overall we are getting a bit more evolved, and we are interested in things that make us feel satisfied. We do go to work. You know, I mentioned in one of the previous podcasts that at its very best, work is love in action.
Yeah.
If love is a state of being, I'm not talking about a set of feelings, a state of being, that's quite a deep thing to get our heads around. But if I'm in that rare moments where I feel at peace, where I can emanate compassion and kindness, where I can just be a vessel to be with other people and my own needs are kind of taken care of. And I get glimpses of it occasionally. And if I can imagine being in a workplace where predominantly that's how people are. Wow. You want to galvanize around something worth doing.
Yes.
And that's purpose. I have some kind of guidelines on what purpose should state and what it shouldn't. I think it should be emotionally engaging, inspiring.
Yeah.
So going back to NASA, to explore the universe, that's a practical, that's the what they do. But notice it doesn't mention rockets.
Yeah, of course.
And the emotional aspect, the inspiring aspect, is for the benefit of mankind. I worked with an electronics company for a number of years, and they came up with a folding 3-pin plug charger that folds completely flat. First in the world to do so. And they've got a 45-watt version coming out now that will power a laptop. So no brick, no thick cable, no plug on the end. Literally, this thin charger that plugs straight into the wall with a thin lead coming out of it going straight into your laptop. And you pull it out the wall, and the three pins, the bottom two pins swivel, So they're all in line, and the flanges that stop it going in the wall go around it.
Amazing. Nice.
Their purpose statement, which I worked with them on, took us a day to get there. And again, I drew it out from the founders. It's who they were. The first thing was, we're only interested in game-changing ideas. So our purpose is about game-changing ideas. So they won't do me-too products. I've been approached by loads of phone companies and laptop companies to redesign plug holders or cases that you can put the lead around. No, not going to change the game. Now, it's a kind of rod for their back, but that's what it's about. So I said, okay, so game-changing ideas. So you're going to bring game-changing ideas to market. I went, no. Why? Well, some of them we might want to do for free if it betters humanity. So they're working with an Afghani guy who'd come up with an idea for a mine clearance, GPS like a football, bomb-proof, but with lots of holes in it that you could broom stales in it, put suction pads at the end of those broom stales that you could buy at a cheap shop, tie kites or bits of cloth in between it. This is for Afghanistan, they love kites. Roll it across a minefield, wind carries it, hits a mine, blows it up, doesn't matter. Retrieve the thing in the middle, the GPS tells you where it's been. You can plot a course that's safe.
Wow.
So bring to life. Oh, got an alarm. So bring game-changing ideas to life. And then I said, there's something missing. And one of the two directors in particular has got a lot of energy. And he said, what's missing? And I said, that. I said, how would you describe that? And he said, well, I'm very passionate. Okay. So their purpose statement became to passionately bring game-changing ideas to life.
Nice.
And when he said it, we got it. We didn't have to focus group it. We knew it. It was for internal use only, and purpose statements predominantly should be. You stick it on the wall, live with it for a while, and if it's right, you know it's right, because every time you look at it, your energy goes up. And so having a purpose statement that you can rally around and also use as a litmus test for when you come up with the next set of vision goals, which should be timed and date bound and measurable and very practical. And does it fit with my purpose?
And can you do that personally?
Absolutely. Not only can you, but you should. And I very tentatively use the word should, because it sounds like an accusation. But I'm only saying should because we do it anyway. And if we don't make it conscious, it's the thing that can often trip us up, particularly in relationships. So every relationship will have a purpose. The opportunity is to name it or not. Right. Now, it can sound very antithetical to what I may have appeared to be about in these sessions, to say that relationships can be kind of reduced to a shopping list. But I think they can. You know, if you've got a marriage or a significant other relationship or a friendship or mates at the social club or the gym, or, you know, we've got a whole range of relationships. Some of them aren't ships, they're dinghies. They're kind of acquaintances and, you know, a relation dinghy, because it doesn't take much to upset them, they capsize and you walk away from them. That's fine, you know. Life's full of acquaintances as well as relationships. But one of the things that will take an acquaintance, a relation dinghy, if you like, into ship territory is if you have a sense of, oh, they're my kind of person, or we like doing stuff together. And I like that person. So it may be that the purpose of your relationship with your closest male friend, maybe we go to the pub, we have a few bevvies, we have a bag of crisps, we shoot the breeze, we have a great time. It's stress-free and it's lovely. So if you were to articulate on a piece of paper, I'm not suggesting you do, because you probably think you're a bit weird. What is the purpose of that relationship? You could say to have a laugh, to be mates, to be light. Great, great. And that relationship might not contain emotional disclosure when you're going through a hard time with your wife. And it's good to know that.
Yeah.
And I've done a lot of work with married couples and significant other couples in my non-corporate work. And often if people come to me saying that their intimacy is struggling, I'll often hear that as initially meaning that their sex life isn't working well. And often I'll ask them about whether that's true, and they'll say, yeah, you know, that's what we said, our intimacy isn't working. Oh, that's interesting. Because I don't always hold intimacy as being physical. Another word play, intimacy into me, you see. Into me, you see. At the core of relationships, any kind of relationship, and I'm not talking now necessarily about a physical relationship, I'm talking about friendships, I'm talking about work colleagues. If it becomes more of a ship, there will be a degree of emotional transparency. We will show up for each other. And sure. We will be able to see each other into me, you see. And so there will be a sharing of values and a sharing of purpose. The danger when purposes in personal relationships aren't named, and it's more unusual to name them, is that we can assume that because we get on well, we have a range of compatibilities, that our overall purpose in that relationship is aligned. And it doesn't necessarily mean that. Mm-hmm. Lots of examples of that, particularly in personal relationships in this day and age where the boy meets girl or man meets man, even that now is becoming less stereotypical, get married and have children. No matter what your sexual orientation, there are a whole range and plethora of different types of relationship depending what stage of life you're in.
Yeah,
some people still want relationships, and they've been married, they've been divorced, they've got kids, they've had businesses together, they've bought houses, and they've done all that, but they still want a significant relationship. So what's the purpose of that relationship? And if you meet somebody that you've got compatibility with, but you don't at some point, and it's not something you talk about on the first date, but if you don't get to the point whereby you start to talk about what is the purpose for you in a personal significant love other relationship, and one person might say, well, one of my purposes is to build a home with someone, and the other one says, oh no, I don't want to live with you. Oh, okay, well, perhaps our purposes aren't compatible. A slightly simplistic example. But I think having purposes that can be clearly articulated within relationships can help the longevity of them. And also it's good to have purposes that are long-standing. I mean, I've worked with one couple for 4 years whose purpose was to get married. And I kept saying, okay, and what's the long-term purpose? Well, they'd kind of talk about it a bit, but they'd always come back to getting married.
Right.
And then they call me a year after the wedding saying, can we talk to you about how to get divorced? Because it ain't working.
Yeah, because they've reached the goal.
The goal was to get married. That was the purpose of the relationship.
Yeah. But I love purpose. I know how strong you feel about that. And I think it's really important that we all look at our purpose in terms of, let's say workplace, in terms of are we aligned with the company? Are we aligned with the firm? Are we aligned with our colleagues, etc.? I know that obviously you run Techniques for Living. You're the founder of Techniques for Living. I'm keen just for the audience here, if they could have a couple of quick things for them to think about and obviously seek you out at Techniques for Living. We'll put the your URL for your website at the end of this podcast. What would you say for improvement of situation or living? I guess everyone's different, but if you were to give your three big tips and they can seek you out and get further information on them, but what would be your top three to think about for a better life?
Well, I'll give one tip from each of the three sections.
So okay.
The three sections are on personal management, interpersonal communication, and relationships. So me, you, us. So on me, one tip is chimes into one of the previous episodes. Carve time out for you on a regular almost diarized basis. And that doesn't have to be the 10-minute meditation we talked about. I find that particularly powerful, and mine's built up to kind of 50 minutes a day now. But it might be something like have a bath with candles, but for you. Go for a walk for you. Go for a little drive in the countryside, if it's allowed, for you. Buy a treat. Think of something that you can control, be in control of, that will remind you of how precious you are. And we are, particularly in Britain and in the West, so harsh on self-love. And one of the things that's come out of the last year in the pandemic is, you know, I'm hearing the word kindness used in business more than I've ever heard it before. It's great. But it's like, where did that come from? Compassion and kindness. I heard it in a board meeting on Tuesday. It's brilliant. And people have become a lot more empathetic with others, but we know it intellectually, we know it starts here.
Yeah.
So my first tip is to consciously do something every day that is purely for you, that grounds you. Second tip on the interpersonal communication. Actually, two options. One is context setting. Take a bit more time to paint a picture in words, particularly when you're requesting something. Don't just say, would you do this for me? Unless it's within a context that's already shared or understood. See if you can paint a broader picture so that, and the litmus test to see if you've got a broad enough picture is at the end of it, they say, so you want me to do X, Y, Z, and you go, exactly. Rather than, so what did you mean?
Yeah.
The more questions they ask, the more you go, okay, so what else could I say? Rather than blame them for being stupid, because that's reaction. Set a broad enough context. So when you say, what have you understood from what I've just said? Never say at the end, do you understand me? Because they might say yes.
Old question. Yeah.
So say, so what do you understand what I've said? And if they repeat back basically what you've said, the essence of it, great, you've set a broad enough context. The other one is practice listening. And listening by not offering solutions. It's so easy, particularly if somebody's in pain, emotionally or physically, and you're close to them, is to try and jolly them out of it. You know, somebody has a few tears, and in handing them the tissue, you take them out of the tears. And sometimes just giving them space to shed the tear or said the angry word or express their frustration or whatever they're feeling. And is there anything else you want to say? And how does that feel? And even, you know, perhaps ask a couple of questions to actually tease out a bit more. And watch for the energetic shift when they go, no, that's fine for now, thanks. So practice actively listening and giving space. And the third one on relationships, on the us. The one that just came to mind there is one of my favorites is random acts of kindness. Yeah, so do something for somebody that you're in a relationship with that would just make them laugh or make them feel mushy or be a contribution to their day. Could be tiny, you know, could be a funny text. Probably not a meme. We're kind of bored of memes, but you know, a flower. It didn't have to be from Waitrose. It could be the few wildflowers starting. Something small. So show the thoughtfulness that for someone you're in relationship with. It could be a friend, a colleague. You know, you'll know, you'll discern whether it's appropriate for the relationship you've got. But just to kind of reinstate that I've got your back. I'm in this ship with you.
I love that. That's brilliant. Philip, what can I say? It's been absolute pleasure over these few episodes to record, and I hope we can do more in the future. I know that people can seek you out at Techniques for Living. Like I said, the website address will be at the bottom of these podcasts, and obviously people can either reach out to me or reach out to you on LinkedIn as well and find you and find us. But for now, I'd just like to say thank you so much. It's been insightful and a delight, and I look forward to talking to you again in the very near future.
I really enjoyed talking with you, Phil.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to this episode from the Talent Smart podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. We're always keen to hear your feedback. Please let us know your thoughts and what episodes and what topics you'd like to hear us cover in the future. Our intention in each episode is to interview interesting and inspiring people who offer their insights into their areas of expertise. We're keen to hear from you. Please let us know your thoughts and if you'd like to take part in future episodes.